Second Samuel, chapter 1. We finished First Samuel last year, I believe. And we got done with John, and now we read the scripture. Second Samuel, chapter 1. This is God's word. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. These were cities. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and did obeyance. So he simply falls to the ground. Here he comes. He's just a mess. He just left the battlefield, and he comes to David in this very terrible looking state, and he falls to David's feet. David said unto him, "From whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." David said unto him, "How went the matter? How did the battle go? I pray thee, tell me." And he answered that the people have fled from the battle, and many of the people also have fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. David said unto the young man that told him, "How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead?" Now remember, Saul was David's enemy, but Jonathan was a very close friend with David. Jonathan loved David, and David loved Jonathan. Saul, on the other hand, hated his son and David, his son because he aligned himself with David, and David because the people sang to David's praises, and Saul got jealous and envious. The young man told him said, "As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, 'Here am I.' And he said unto me, 'Who art thou?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite, a sworn enemy of God's people.' And he said unto him again, 'Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me.'" So Saul was basically asking someone to finish and basically kill him. "So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord." What is David's response going to be? His enemy's gone, but his best friend's dead. "And they mourned and wept and fasted even unto even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto this young man that told him, 'Whence art thou?' And he answered, 'I am a son of a stranger, an Amalekite.' And David said unto him, 'How was it thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?' And David called one of the young men and said, 'Go near, fall upon him, and smote him that he die.' And David said unto him, 'Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed.' And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them each, the children of Judah, the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, 'The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty falling?'" This is this David's lamentation. "Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph." Please be seated. May God bless his word, but remain open. Some of you may know the story of King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. He didn't want the job. Matter of fact, when Samuel had to go look for him, and we're told that Saul was a much taller man than the average Israelite at that time. Saul was hunkered down behind the luggage of whatever supplies. He was trying to hide himself. And Samuel finds him, anoints him with oil, And Israel is happy because now, like all the other nations, we have a king. Saul starts off his administration wisely. He was a very humble man. Matter of fact, there was one group of Israelites who didn't bring any presents to his coronation. And some on the other side said, hey, Saul, let's just kill him. They disrespected you. You're the king. My word. And Saul said, no, there's no bloodshed today. So he was very humble, very kind. Everything was cool. And then David comes into the picture. And David was that sweet psalmist. And when Saul began to go off his rocker, and God would sovereignly send a foul demonic spirit to terrorize and simply make Saul's life miserable, they believed back then, as even today, that music could soothe someone in that depression or in that state. David was hauled in with his harp, he would play, and Saul would go from these fits of stupidity to being calm. And then eventually David is invited into Saul's court. He then becomes one of his generals that leads Saul's armies. And then when they fight the Philistines, the ladies would come up with their tambourines. Saul's only killed 1,000, David's killed 10,000. And then this enviousness and this bitterness welled up in King Saul. On two occasions, David could have killed Saul. On one occasion, they're all in a cave. David and his band of merry warriors were in the backside of the cave with no candle, no fire, lest they be discovered, and nobody was allowed to sneeze or cough. And in the entrance to the same cave, Saul was taking a nap. And David's army says, hey, here's your chance. Kill him. David comes out. He simply took his sword and he whacked off the hem of Saul's garment. When Saul gets up and he crosses over, David comes out of the cave. Nanny boo boo, look what I got. Check your hemline. I could have killed you. And then Saul had this momentary, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not going to kill you. And David didn't trust Saul. He went back to his men. Saul went back to his kingdom to start the chase again, over and over. Until finally the day of the battle comes. Jonathan and his daddy go off to battle, and they're both killed. They're both killed. That's how chapter 32 of 1 Samuel ends. So now in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we have this unusual situation. David is waiting. Now, at this point, David's been anointed, but he's not fully the king yet. He spends 7 years anointed by the tribe of Judah. The next 33 years, which would make a reign of 40, he is anointed again with all 12 tribes. So Judah initially acknowledges David as the king. The other 10 northern tribes are very hesitant. But eventually David is anointed again, and this time with the whole nation behind his back, okay? So David's curious. How's the battle? So this guy comes in, this Amalekite. The Amalekites, beloved, are Israel's enemy. You know what most Christians don't know? You know the story of Esther? How she saved her people from being eliminated? And if the Persians got their way, there would have been no Christmas and no Easter, because the descendants or the ancestors of Jesus at that time would have been butchered. Who was the man that devised this genocide? A clown named Haman. He was an Amalekite. When Samuel told Saul to kill all the Amalekites, he didn't do it. He saved the king. He saved all the livestock and some of the people. Because of that act of disobedience, down through time, Haman the Amalekite would try to eliminate all of God's people from the face of the earth. The devil was behind him. And thus there would have been no Christmas, meaning the nativity, and there would have been no bodily resurrection. All because of King Saul's disobedience. That sin came to haunt God's people in the book of Esther. Most Christians don't know that because they don't read and don't study. But I gave it to you free of charge. because you're that important. So here, David says, well, how did it go? And this guy is so stupid, so foolish to say, well, look, I got Saul's bracelet, I got this, I got that. I'm the one that did the final plunge. He thought that David was going to simply throw upon him all kinds of gold and silver and benefits. What did David give him? Death. Because look at verse 14. David said unto him, how hast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Well, let me close by sharing this. A pastor is not God's anointed. We've been in some churches where if you say something bad about the pastor, or you challenge him or that, oh, do not touch the Lord's anointed. That's out of context. Saul and David and Solomon were anointed with oil. That has nothing to do with being a pastor. A pastor is a human. He's frail. He's weak. He's prone to error. He's simply a man like you and I, in a sense. He still has a fallen nature. And if he's not careful, he'll walk into a trap. But here, this Lord's anointed has nothing to do with a New Testament pastor. Because in 1 John chapter 2, we are told by John, everyone in this room, if you are truly saved, you have already been anointed with God the Holy Spirit. You are thus one of God's anointed. It's not reserved to anybody behind a pulpit or behind a podium. Okay? But under the old economy, under this theocracy, where God was the CEO, the president, the prime minister, whatever term, of Israel, and when the king was anointed with holy oil, that's the term, the anointed. David said to him, you had the nerve to kill God's anointed. Now remember, on two occasions, David could have killed Saul, but he held back because of this same Old Testament principle. This guy is boasting and bragging that he has killed the king of Israel, and he's expecting some type of a compensation from King David. David simply gave him a blade. And that was under the old economy. Today, beloved, in 1 John chapter 2, everybody in this room, if you are in Christ, in him alone, by faith alone, by grace and mercy alone, based on the finished work of Christ alone, because the tomb is empty and he still sits at the Father's right hand, you are God's anointed. It was quite different under the old economy. It dealt with the Levitical priests and kings only, not the common Joe. New covenant, every child of God is anointed. That's in 1 John chapter 2. May God choose to bless this word.